Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is January the 20th already, 2019. And I'm going to do the last first. You know, in the kingdom of God, sometimes the first is last and the last is first. So I stand up here and the Lord said, bring what I brought you, gave you last first. Okay, Lord. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm just going to put it to you like the Lord put it to me. That's the easiest way I know. Everybody there? Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of the faith. The Amplified says to God, well, it just says to God, but Amplified says by which you turn to God, but talking about faith here. And he goes on to talk about teaching, about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment and punishment. And it's added in brackets, these are the matters of which you should have been fully aware of long, long ago. If indeed God permits, we will proceed. In other words, we will go on. And what the Lord began to speak to me this morning was this. He said, you have thought that some of the faith teachers that taught you were wrong, but no, they weren't wrong. But they were elementary school teachers. They were elementary. They were laying the foundations and the basics of faith. And the Lord put it to me like this. I remember, it's funny what the Lord brings to your remembrance. I remember being in my first grade class, and we had, lived in Houston, Texas, and they had the windows open. And we had a guy in our class called, his name was Baby Huey is what we called him. You know, it was a cartoon Baby Huey back that time. And if he'd get in trouble or something, one day he just jumped out the window and ran home. But back in those days, you'd come up to the teacher's desk, and if you didn't learn the lesson, she had a ruler. And she'd hit you on the hand with it. Do you see how things have changed? Now they'd have a lawsuit and have that teacher suspended and probably put in prison for slapping a kid on the hand with a ruler. You know, I was thinking, wow, Lord, how we've declined. But the Lord said to me, he said, when you were in first grade, didn't have kindergarten, it tells you how old I am. We didn't have kindergarten back when I was in elementary school. But she taught us how to add. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 3 = 6. Did I learn very good? See, 3 + 3 = 6. So the Lord, she taught us the basics. And each grade you'd progress in that foundation. And the next teacher would build on the foundation that the teacher before had laid. And the things that I teach on Sunday morning, some of them are new to us. It's because they're more foundational. And so God wants you to build on that foundation. Don't just hear it for face value, so to speak, and just continue on with your 1 + 1 = 2. Well, always use faith. Always use faith. It is a foundation. And you'll always use addition. It's a foundation. But when you get in a conversation, do you say, well, my first grade teacher said, do you say that? No. Neither should it be with the teachers in the body of Christ that we've learned from. Not that we don't give them credit at times, but the Lord is saying, the Lord's been trying to take us up higher for weeks now, and he has been doing so. But he wants us to build on the foundation, Because he wants to do some things in us. If we just listen on Sunday or when we're in our car and not take to heart and begin to look in the Word and look for ourselves and look for the gems and nuggets like we've done in the foundationals that things are laid in us, the other are familiar. Everybody likes familiar. Everybody likes comfortable. They don't want to be stretched and moved out of their comfort zones, but that's what has to happen. It's the same way in school. If you stay in first grade and your mentality stays in first grade and all you ever get study and only will even hear is 1 + 1 = 2, there's some problems. You're not going to be viable. You're not going to be able to be used in greater things. Go on to be an accountant. Well, I'm an accountant, but all I know is 1 + 1 = 2. There's problems here. So the Lord was encouraging me to encourage you to hear what he's been implementing into us and start making it a priority like you have faith and other things. You're already founded in that. I don't need to go back and do 1 + 1 and 2 + 2 and 3 + 3. I know it. I get it. And I'll never forget 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 3 = 6. I will never forget that, ever. Will I draw upon it? Occasionally I will. Always go back to it. But he wants us to move on to advanced teaching. And if all we want is our same little track, and we're never willing to get off of this one little track, then we're going to be stumped in our spiritual growth. Let me read this to you again. Are you hearing what I'm hearing from this set of scriptures? Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in teachings and doctrines of Christ, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of the faith to God with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. If indeed God permits, we will now proceed. Lord wants us to have, he knows we have these establishments in our life that we will always have and we will draw upon. But he's encouraging us to grasp a hold of the teachings that build on those foundations. See, these are foundations that are laid, the ones I mentioned here. And God will build on that foundation. He'll build on first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, PhD. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord, you know, I was thinking about, sometimes I don't understand why the Lord has me bring certain things. And sometimes it's not received too well, and I know it. But it comes back around. Maybe 6 months later, it'll come right back around. It'll be relevant. You understand what I'm saying? See, God's trying to lay some foundations here. I heard something yesterday, and it was about the Project Bluebeam again, about the last ditch effort. It was called the hidden alien agenda, the deep state move, last ditch effort. And I brought that way back, and here it's coming back around. Last-ditch effort to try to do something to sabotage what God is doing. The Lord didn't have me bring it for no reason. I ain't just some lunatic up here and pulls his alien crap out of the clouds. That's the Lord, when he says bring it, I bring it. Do I understand it usually? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it's just like television. My broadcast is 6 months out. But when it airs, it's hitting just exactly where it's supposed to be. Why? God's doing it. This is God laying a foundation. This is God doing this. So don't think it's strange when you hear strange things. God has so much he wants to share with us, and he has so much he wants to bring us up higher in. It's time to get past what we've been stuck on for 30 years. It's time to move on so God can use us in a higher way. Still, having the foundation never will be without the foundation. I mean, I read faith scriptures every day. I build my faith every day. And I will always do that. But that's not the only thing. We have to embrace what God is imparting to us now, grab a hold of it. What does it say? I think it's Hebrews 2. Yes, it is. 2:1. Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past and slip away. It's not enough to just go to church and just listen to somebody teach. We see. You're not going to get it that way. It comes from the individual grabbing hold of that truth and devouring it. If it was just that simple, then we'd have everybody won. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I went to church many years before I ever learned anything. It wasn't until I started getting under pastor teachers that I really began to learn some things in the Word of God. All this screaming and yelling and spitting and windmilling, I didn't get a whole lot out of. But when they started to teach the Word of God, it began to pique my interest. I began to see that it was relevant for my life. It wasn't just a bunch of yelling and screaming and Holy Ghost running around and, you know what I'm saying? A bunch of sensationalism and a bunch of emotionalism, and I'm not against that at the proper time when the Holy Spirit's moving, but the denomination I got filled with the Spirit in, that was their thing. I mean, if you thought God didn't love you, if you didn't have a dancing spell or something, get slain in the Spirit, and that's the way it was. Well, we live in a world today that is... You know, that's not going to cut it. Yeah, there'll be times that we have joined the Lord but God's wanting to lay a higher foundation. He wants to build on the foundation that's already laid and go forward. Okay, that brings me into this last part of the teaching. The last is first today. This is called refrain from evil. Refrain from evil, key to long life. Yep. Refrain from evil. Key to long life. And this is a little odd for me. When I was bringing it yesterday, I said, Lord, are you sure? Is this right? And I guess so. So I'm going to try to explain it to you the best I can here. This is Matthew 7, the first... I don't know about you, but I don't know how long, the Lord's kind of had us turning in a new direction, coming up higher. I've grown. I can tell in my own personal life that I've grown. This is Matthew 7:7. You there? 7:7. Keep on asking, it will be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. Him who keeps on knocking will be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asked him for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? If he asked for a fish, will he hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good and advantageous things to those that keep on asking him? So what is he talking about here? Let's look down to 17. Well, let's look at 16. You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the sickly tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear excellent fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruit. Okay, I want to look up the word evil right quick here. I looked in the vines. That particular word there is poneros, or poneros is the way it's pronounced. Labor, toil, denotes evil that causes labor and pain, sorrow, malignant evil. It is used with the meaning like bad and worthless in the physical sense. All right, in the moral or ethical sense, evil or wicked. You could say just a natural man, just the old nature. That's what he's talking about here. The old nature, God considers evil. You can be a Christian and still be evil. Do you know that? You've not renewed your mind. You've not come into the realization that we are in this world but not of this world, that God's kingdom is a different kingdom, and we can operate in an evil system. So he was talking about evil as you are. They haven't realized how good God is. When he asks for bread, he won't give you a stone. They haven't grasped that God provides it all. They're still grabbing for these natural things, and it's kind of a process. But there's many in the church today, many, or what I've seen, they think so naturally. It's like Paul said, you're so carnal-minded. You cannot grasp spiritual truths. You're carnal. That means you're fleshly. And we know that the flesh is not going to inherit anything. Not today, not in a billion years. Okay, after the new birth, we are encouraged to no longer act according to that old nature. We've been born again, transferred. We come out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have been transferred into the kingdom of light. Spiritually we have, but physically, mentally, this is where the problem is. This was the children of Israel's problem. They came out of Egypt. They had a type of the new birth, you might say. Not what we have, but they had a little bit of it, God's goodness. But they couldn't grasp it. And they couldn't go in. So they could not fully appropriate kingdom benefits and kingdom ways, long life, because of their mental capacities and how they thought about things. They thought they were grasshoppers. So they died like grasshoppers. Except for Joshua and Caleb, and those children that they said would never make it in, went in. All right, Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. It's one of my favorite scriptures. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. That's that fleshly way of doing things, the evil way. God considers that evil. Why? That's Satan's nature. When man fell, he became a child of the devil. And Satan operates in the flesh. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here, starting in Exodus. We have been made free. But we can choose to reject it just like the children of Israel refused Canaan. God said to them, I've given you the land. You're well able to go in and take the land. But what they saw caused them to retreat and say, we'd be not able. And they did that so much that God finally just left them in their condition. Let them die out. Okay, 15:26, saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will listen to and obey his commandments and keep his statutes, I put here, I will permit none of the diseases upon you which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So in this natural system, there are diseases. But when you walk according to God's word and his way, they can't touch you. They can't do anything to you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Now you can give assent to it and welcome it in. That's up to you. Okay, 23, Exodus. Even in the old covenant, God was trying to get them to let his word. He said that he told them, and we'll probably read this. I tell you to talk about it when you walk down the road, when you sit in your house, tell your children about it. Write it as, and put it as frontlets between your eyes. Write it on the gatepost of your house. This was like renewing the mind. And even in the old covenant, he's the same God. He's a faith God. He has always been a faith God. And so he had to work with these people, the only with their covenant. But he hasn't changed. He's still the same. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness from your midst. None shall lose her young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Now we looked in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to die. There is a time to die. And it's not a sickness and disease. There's a time that's right. Like I said, I was thinking about Paul this morning about the, if you've done it wrong and you die wrong, why should you get the victor's crown? You will not. There's a special crown for those who do it right in the time, when it's the right time. When God says, okay, you finished all your work, and if you want to come, you can come. Okay. I used to think as a kid, you know, I remember mom and daddy both smoked, and I thought, well, I wonder what kind of cigarettes I'll smoke when I get grown. You know, just this, this kind of thinking. And you're always told, well, you got to die of something. Says who? That's not biblical. That's just the opposite of what I just read. Even in the Old Testament, they had a covenant to be able to walk in health and live long lives and die right. Got bunches of scriptures. Another thing the Lord said to me, I don't want to let this slip. He said, watch your music. Watch your music. It's very seductive. Very seductive. You can grab a hold of a song and it be in you. I mean, there might be a song come to me I hadn't heard in 30 years. I think, where'd that come from? Inner storehouse. See, the good man out of the good inner storehouse fling forth good. The bad, the wicked, he flings forth bad. So the Lord was just saying, be careful about your music. All music is his music. It's been stolen by the devil. And I've been claiming that back. But on the other side of that, we need to not let it seduce. Don't let it seduce you. I'm telling you, that old country and western junk, it flat have you dragging. It's always about your cheating heart or your achy breaky heart or your sobbing in your beer. You old tramp, you know what I'm saying? Just that old slutty. It's seducing. Rock and roll, well, it takes you another way. A lot of the words, you like the song and the beat, but you think about some of the words they say and what they mean. I just had that very strong this morning. Watch your music. Watch what you dabble with. Why stick your toe out there? Why? Don't mess with things that seduce you into that. I'm just saying, take with it what you want, whatever pipe you have, and smoke it. That's your prerogative, whatever the Lord's speaking to you, because I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. But the Lord knows where we live, and He knows the things that Satan can use to entice us and to get us away from the truth. So that's that old nature, that music, that's what it gratifies. And this is what we're talking about here. We're walking in the Spirit. We don't want to be pulled on by the things of the world. We have to live here, that is a fact, but we don't have to. I mean, there's things we have to do in this world, I understand that. But we do not have to be deceived and seduced by it. All right, Deuteronomy 4. Truth is, a lot of musicians, especially some are even into occult practices. So sometimes you don't know what you're, they may be singing to Satan. All right. All you know is it just sounds good and you like the beat. Especially during the time like the oldies, more oldies. You know, I was thinking about the other day, we sowed the wind in the 60s and now we're reaping the whirlwind with the millennials. And how, like Woodstock and different things, how it was an evil time in our history. But it planted seeds. Okay. Deuteronomy 4:39. Know, recognize and understand therefore this day and turn your heart to it that the Lord is God in the heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments which I command you this day that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God gives you forever. So throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, God is constantly reminding his covenant people how to live a good long life. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. Now this is the instruction, the laws and the precepts which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land to which you go to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, and keep all his statutes and his commandments which command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. The Lord was showing me this stuff, I said, Lord, why don't more people in your word actually see when you start talking about longevity and long life and why don't they get it? Even Christians, they just seem to be oblivious to it. Verse 24 of 6. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. God is about life, and that more abundantly. And it comes from his word. There's life in the word. Okay, Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore, you should lay up these words in your hearts and in your being and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. Our children have been lost. After World War II, women, you know, went to work in factories. They quit staying home and being mothers, quit teaching their children. I mean, no public school was around that time, but still, we've fallen short. Everybody's gone to work to make more money, to get bigger houses and different things. And so they've forgotten about how important the Word of God is to raise children, viable children. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land, which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them as long as the heavens are above the earth. Right here, this is even better, 22. If you diligently keep all the commandment which I commanded you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and cleave to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. The Word of God. Talking about taking back our country. Taking our land back, taking our ground back, taking the music that belonged to the church back. The church has been passive. They've been playing. They became an organization and they acted like an organization, a corporation, if you will. It's business as usual, but not master's business. Not everybody. But as a whole, we got lax. 12:28. Be watchful and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you go to dispossess, and you dispossess them and live in their land. But listen, a warning. Be careful that you're not ensnared into following them after you've they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? We will do likewise. All right, Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you. I've set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him, for he is your life, the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is this where we live? It is. Old or new, it doesn't make any difference. This is where we live. Proverbs 3. We looked a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, maybe, about the fountain of youth. Here it is. It's not in a bottle or in an injection or in a procedure. It's in the Word of God. For length of days and years of a life and tranquility, these shall they add to you. He says, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. You're wanting long life, length of days and years. And it doesn't just say you'll just get old and be all shriveled up. It says no. It's a life worth living. What good is a long life if you're sick? Can't do nothing. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing, can't eat nothing. Okay. Proverbs, well, verse 13, same chapter. Happy is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it better than fine gold. Skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Who wouldn't want that? She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her, and happy is everyone who holds her fast. Why? The Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, he's established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps are broken up, and the skies distill the dew. My son, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your inner self and a gracious ornament to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust, and you shall not dash your foot or stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden terror and panic, nor of the stormy blast or the storm and rent of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. Firm and strong, shall keep your foot from being caught. Sounds like an amazing life. Okay, Proverbs 4. 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom. I have led you in paths of uprightness. When you walk, your steps shall not be hampered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. That's what we're talking about here, evil. Avoiding evil. It says, avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have caused trouble or vexation. Their sleep is taken away unless they have caused people to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. See, God wants us to avoid that in every way. Okay, 13. I just read that. Okay. 10 through 13, 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart for their life. To those that find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put forth from you. He's talking about don't talk outside covenant. Talk covenant. This is contrary talk. False, dishonest speech. Let your eyes look right on and let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet and let all your ways be established in order to right. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Evil. That is that desire of the flesh and doing these fleshly things. Evil. If you then being evil. Why do we stay in the Word? So we know if we need something, He provides. If we need bread, He'll give us bread. Are y'all getting this? Proverbs 12, 18. Well, I know these are pretty pronounced scriptures, but I don't want you to forget it. Proverbs 12, 18. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 28. Life is in the way of righteousness, and in its pathway there is no death. Immortality. They put but in there. Immortality. That's what I'm talking about. Immortality. Proverbs 14. Paul said he learned to walk in resurrection life even while he was in the body. What's resurrection? That's immortality. That's walking like you live in heaven while you're still on this earth. Paul learned to do it through the Word of God. Proverbs 14, 27. Reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. 30. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. What's this talking about here? Care. Care. Getting into care. We don't have to get into care. He's telling us not to. Okay, Proverbs 17, 22. Some of these are scriptures from longevity scriptures I gave you. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. What's a broken spirit? Care. Care. Proverbs 18:21. We all know this one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. Whichever. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Let me read 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the obstinate and willful. He who guards himself will be far from them. Willful. I do it myself. I do it my way. Willful. There's two ways to choose here. Good, evil. All right, I'm going to look at 1 Peter. This is the care. We talk about pride. Willful is pride. 1 Peter 5. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves. Amplify says, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. And this is how you do it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, cares about you watchfully. Then you will be well balanced. Be vigilant, cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith. So, when we are caring for ourselves, God sees it as pride. How do we start this? Matthew 7. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? It's talking about casting care. It's talking about not getting into self-care, but walking in Father's care. Two choices here. Ecclesiastes 7:17. I like this one. This really brings this out. Be not wicked over much, or willfully, neither be foolish. Why should you die before your time? A lot of Christians, they live most of their life in the fleshly realm, and occasionally they will step over and get a spiritual blessing, but they can die early. We can't just once in a while partake of it. This is a way of living. And when we walk that way, we live that way, we're protected. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, a time to be born and a time to die. You want to be ready when he says you're ready and it's time to go, and they have all your mansion and everything ready. Your reception has been planned. Your crown is waiting. John 5:24. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who sent me has eternal life, and he does not come into judgment, but he has already passed over out of death into life. We're already partaking of what's in heaven. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:10. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So the gospel brings full disclosure about eternal life or the light through the gospel. Okay, 1 Peter 3, we just got a few more, just a little bit more on this. 1 Peter 3:10. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile. I like it there because it says treachery and deceit. That means treason and deception. Treason. So this is definitely talking about you're not talking covenant. You get out of covenant with your mouth. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it. Let him do right. Let him search for peace and seek it eagerly. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil. Pretty simple, isn't it? When you stay in covenant, you talk covenant, you keep your eyes on the word, God hears and answers. But he turns, he considers you an enemy when you start that crooked speech. That evil talk, anti-God. Talk. God considers the fallen nature as an enemy. There in 1 Peter 3, the word worthless, it means worthless or depraved, treasonous, worthless or depraved. Will our words betray us or promote us? James, perfect scripture, James 1. James is exhorting us how to do it the right way. 1:2. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped in or counter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. See if we can learn to not give in, not let our senses dictate what happens in the situation, but staying with the Word of God, it says we will lack in nothing. We'll receive. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, but no wavering. For the one who wavers is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything from the Lord. A man of two minds, unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything. It's humbling to stand whenever everything seems to be coming against you. But that is the place of receiving in humility. See, God sees the humble, but he rejects the proud. Okay. Now, we can go ahead and cut that. We'll begin at the beginning.